Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, Wednesday afternoon. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Michael Bispin here with Luis J. Gomez, and this is the Believe You Me podcast. How are you, Luis?
I'm chilling, doggy. I'm back at home. Very excited to not be in the studio cranking my neck like a weirdo.
State-of-the-art studio.
State-of-the-art studio. Very expensive. Lots of bells and whistles. Lots of things happening. But being in my home feels so nice. I get to smoke a little weed, hang out, talk to Bisping, argue with Chad Money Mendez on Instagram. It's a whole to-do.
Can you believe that guy? Chad Mendez. I don't even want to talk about it, but you just brought it up.
I'm sorry. It wasn't in the notes, but what happened? I wake up and I see Chad Money Mendez. He wants a fight with Bisping.
I'm in the garage this morning lifting weights with Callum, and Callum says, "Hey, Dad, have you seen what Chad Mendez has put on his Instagram?" Now, if you recall, I think this was a while ago, me and Tim Kennedy had a little thing, just jokes from my end, and I saw Chad Mendez in Tim Kennedy's comments call me disrespectful and something else. Yeah. So I sent him a message and we talked about this. I said, disrespectful, how can I disrespect the sport? You're the one testing positive for steroids. And anyway, he's finally caught up. He's finally come up for air out of wherever he's had his head stuck. And he's realized what happened 8 weeks ago. And now he's taking all offense. And he put a little post on there. He had me getting knocked out against Dan Henderson. Ooh, never seen that one before. That's really touched a nerve, Chad. You've really upset me there. Jesus Christ. So anyway, I had
chimed in, Bisping. Well, did he delete your comment?
He deleted my comment, but not before I took a screenshot. But I got to say, Luis, thank you for having my back, because I saw your comment. I even liked the comment. Thank you. Oh, yeah. I never responded.
Of course. But, well, first of all, look, we're fucking boys. This is just the way that I grew up is if somebody talks shit on one of my boys, it is very difficult to not respond. And I also thought that he talked shit in sort of a bitch-ass way. It's like, doggy, talk shit about your accomplishments. You're showing a picture of another man, like getting a win. It's like, now are you going to show pictures of him losing against Jose Aldo or Frankie Edgar? It's just sort of a stupid thing. It's like, what are you bragging about, dude? Like, I don't know. It made me annoyed and I chimed in and I
appreciate you chiming in. Yeah, listen, you know, anytime anybody wants to talk shit, the instant gift that they always go to is me unconscious on the floor with Dan Henderson above me. Like, the thing that's a really touchy subject, maybe in 2009, 11 years ago when it happened, I might have had a different response. But I'm actually proud of that. You know, just like, you know, whatever it takes to get you to where you were, like you said about your the other day on the last show about your father, you know, with the chaos theory angle. You know what I mean? If things didn't happen a certain way, you wouldn't be where you are now. So I don't regret anything. It was all part of my journey. I loved my journey. I had a great time. And Chad Mendez wants to talk a bit of shit. Go ahead, buddy. I'm not going to lower myself. Although I couldn't resist. I did give
what
a little thing.
What did you say back?
And I took a little screenshot.
He said he did not delete the comment, but it's not there.
It's not there. So I guess the little fairies came in, you know, the same fairies that stuck the fucking steroids in his system that he denies that he took. So here's what he put. His comment was, let's get some shit straight here, Mike Bisping. When I let USADA suspend me. Oh, yeah. So gracious of him. This guy's so nice. He just let USADA suspend him for no reason. Wow. I mean, you're smart and generous. When I let them suspend me, it was for a banned peptide under their rules, not a steroid. Okay, so just to put some shit into perspective for morons like you, too much caffeine in your system is a violation under USADA rules. Well, I drink a lot of caffeine. In fact, I'm on my SpongeBob cup, seventh of the day. Never fail from USADA, ever. Never really check the bottom back of my protein supplements. Never failed.
You're putting different types of topical creams on your knees, your neck, your eyeball, your nipples, your dick. Bisping can't stop putting topical creams on. He's never once looked at the ingredients.
Michael Topical Cream Bisping, as I'm known in certain circles. Seriously, that's what they call them. Like, oh, God, what kind of peptide cream is it today, Michael? You're spending a fortune. You're going to go bankrupt on all these types of creams.
He's like, I love my peptides. What am I supposed to do?
What am I going to tell you? I'm going to fucking keep, you know, wrinkle-free. So anyway, unlike all these other guys getting popped and making the worst excuses ever to wheel and deal their suspensions down, I owned my shit like a man. Doesn't sound like it. Anyway, he goes on. So I couldn't resist, of course. So I put 4 or 5 laughing emojis. Ha, 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 ha. This is awesome. And I said, you know what you have in common with every other cheating cunt? You're also a lying cunt. No one admits to being a bitch. Boom, there you go. And it's true. Nobody, they're a cheating cunt and they instantly become a lying cunt. Again, sorry for the use of the word cunt, anyone that's offended, but I mean,
only people that are offended often.
And then, of course, I took a screenshot and I put it on Twitter just for shits and giggles. Yeah. But whatever, you know, good luck, Chad, whatever you're doing. I'm not going to lower myself, although I already have.
You did. You
lowered yourself. For the first 5 minutes of the show.
You know, it's fine. We'll probably take some more shots. It's not over. We're going to say it's over. Bisping's not harboring any resentment, but Chad Money Mendez, you are dead to the Believe You Me podcast.
Oh, and he's fucking dead when I catch up with him. Say, so, hey, come talk all that shit, little guy.
He did talk a lot of shit. He was like, unless you want me to do this to you. It wasn't even like he said, ha ha, you lost. He said, I'm going to do this to you.
Oh, is that what he said? Yes. All right, okay. That'd be, I sure would love to see that. I'd love to see him try. Anyway, who cares? So anyway, Lewis, I got a little bone to pick with you, okay? Whoa. Father's Day has been and gone, okay? So it's no longer a Father's Day trip, but your annual Father's Day trip that you label it as, and good for you, it doesn't have to be on Father's Day, I guess. You know, you're coming out here, you're spending some time, you're coming to my house, you know, just invited yourself, and, you know, we're accommodating him and his child, I guess. He never asked permission, but whatever. But me being the type of guy I am, I'm like, well, let's go one step further. Let's go somewhere. I suggested we go up to Big Bear and things like that. I'm texting you last night. I'm spending a lot of, I'm a very busy man, Lewis. I'm Googling cabins. I'm looking them up. I'm getting the link because bearing in mind, I'm looking at the link on my laptop. I have to airdrop the link to my phone so I can send it to you. Lewis can't even give me a response. He's that uninterested.
I'm an old man.
In what I am trying to do, the joys, the excitement, the experience that I'm trying to give to you and James, and you can't even give me your attention or even a response of, wow, that's cool.
I did respond. Looks nice. He goes, he sent me 2 links to these beautiful cabins. And then he goes, in fact, I'm thinking maybe we get a hotel down by the beach instead. So then I wrote back because, you know, I'm also a very busy man. Lots of things going on. I just wrote back, whatever you guys think. Couldn't be any easier. Couldn't be any more easygoing. I'm like, whatever you think. I'm cool. Me and my son will find a way. It's like when I go out on a date with a chick. I was like, where do you want to go to eat? She's like, I don't know. I was like, just pick a place. I'll find anything on the menu. I have no restrictions. I always will find something. And every time a chick has to fucking... So you're acting like a chick is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And no disrespect to chicks out there. I'm happy acting like a chick, you know, in this day and age.
It's true.
I don't see what you're trying to say there, Lewis. There's nothing wrong with being... You know, in touch with my feminine side. Do you ever do that one you just talked about there, if you're with a chick or with your girlfriend or whatever, and you're trying to find somewhere to eat? Like if I'm in a new place and you're in a busy built-up area, like I was just in San Diego a couple of weeks ago. I don't know San Diego, the restaurants seem too well. We're in a busy area, there's restaurants everywhere. So I'm walking up and down and looking at restaurants. I'm like, it's not good enough. Oh, it's not good enough. And then we did about 5 laps up and down. The kids were getting fucking sick of it. They said, Lucas is like, my feet are hurting and things like that. And then by this point, like we've overthought it so much. We're looking for the perfect restaurant, but the perfect restaurant doesn't exist.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. And that's the problem. It's like, you know, I don't even decide what to eat until the waitress comes and asks me what I want. Every time I sit down at a restaurant, I will skim the menu and I go, all right, I don't even know what I want. And then I just wait till she comes over. And I do this every time. I say, what do you suggest? Every time. What do you suggest? I wonder if waitresses hate that. I wonder if that's obnoxious.
Some of them hate it. I always say, what do you recommend? Because obviously they know the food, or they should. They work there. They bring the food out. They serve it every day. And they also, I would think, get feedback from customers. That was great. That was terrible. That was mediocre. And not to mention, they probably eat the food on their lunch breaks and things like that. So I always ask them. But some of them do seem a little put out by that.
Well, the other problem is sometimes they'll have like specials and they're trying to get rid of like old fish in the back. They're trying to get rid of old pork. So you don't know. The better question, instead of what do you suggest, is what's the most popular thing on the menu? Give me a few of the most popular items on the menu. And then if I've sort of been eyeing that already, then boom, it's right there. And then, but you know, I'm a fucking dude.
That's what I used to do. Cause I used to, when I was fighting all over the place, I'd always bring clothes back for Rebecca. I've got a keen eye, but she would think I had a keen eye. I'd always bring her back some nice clothes that I think she'd look nice in, right? And she'd be, oh my God, you brought this. That's so thoughtful. I mean, yada, yada, yada. But no, I'd do the same thing. I'd just go in there and I'd speak to the assistant and I'd say, what's the most popular thing right now? You know what I mean? And then she'd say this, that, and the other. I said, well, she's not going to like that, but she'll like that one. Yeah, I'll get that in that size. So it's not like I'm going in there perusing all the fucking aisles and looking at all the stuff. I just say, what is the best or most popular stuff you have right now?
If I walk into a department store, I walk right up to the first person I see and I ask, like, I'll interrupt their conversation rudely. I don't give a shit. I'm like, where is this? I need it now. I don't look for things. I don't go up and down aisles. I go to the first person that works there and I say, I need this. Point me in the right direction. I don't waste any time. I don't know. Guys have that ego thing where they don't want directions. They don't want help. Fuck that. I want to be in and I want to be out.
I'll tell you what, seeing as we're talking about shopping, I was going to go back to the Big Bear and the beach experience, and I will in a second. But have you ever had, like, I don't like to go shopping with somebody else. Like, if I'm with a friend or a family member or something, yeah, my wife, whatever, that's great. But I've been with some people sometimes, and they're like, oh, what are you doing? You're going to go for a walk around the mall? And like, say I'm, I don't know, I've come somewhere and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to nip off. I need to buy a new shirt. I'm commentating tomorrow, whatever. I need a new shirt. I need whatever. And I'm bored. I'm going to have a little walk around the mall. And they're like, oh, I'll come with you. I'm like, no, it's the most awkward thing in the world. If you go shopping with someone else and you don't know them that well, I'm like, oh, do you know what I mean? Because they're looking at things you don't get to look at what you want to look at. They're looking at what they want to look at. You're going to pretend you're interested. Yeah, I never go shopping with anybody else. Are you much of a shopper, Lewis?
I'm not much of a shopper.
You as a mauler.
The last time I shopped where I went shopping, I'm talking about like, I'm going to take $1,000 and go shopping at a store and find like new jeans and shirts and maybe a new pair of sneakers. It's like, it's a shopping day. Like, women fucking do this all the time. That's crazy. I think my last time was like junior year in high school. I went school shopping because by the time I was in high school, I was buying my own school clothes. And I think that was the last year that I really gave a shit about having like cool clothes.
When I lived in England still, we used to go shopping all the time. There's a big mall in Manchester called the Trafford Centre. And in England, it would just, you know, and certainly in the Northwest, it rains all the time. So you could never do anything. And then in between fights, I wasn't doing a podcast. I wasn't doing any kind of the stuff that I am now. So I would have sometimes 6 months and nothing to do. And I wouldn't be training because the gym was like an hour and a half drive away. So, and it's raining outside. So we just go to the mall because it was a day out. We'd go there, we'd have lunch, we'd walk around because there was fucking nothing to do and spend money on bullshit you just don't need. You know, I don't really do that anymore. If I'm going to, generally for the most part, I just order online. I had a pair of jeans show up this morning. I know exactly the type of jeans that I like. I know the fit. I just order them, boom, to my door. Online shopping is awesome.
I know. I'm with you. It's slowly but surely, I'm turning into the online shopper because I was against it forever. I used to never use those apps to like order food. I used to want to speak to somebody. I'm like, what's your name? Cool. Chris. Just making sure. If you get my order wrong, Chris, I know it's you. I want accountability. When you're doing an app, it's like, is it the app's fault? Is it the driver's fault? Is it the store's fault? But now it's just, I've given in. 4 clicks of a button. You're there. You don't have to deal with anybody. You could track it. You watch them on their fucking bike come up a path. It's pretty convenient. And by the way, I want to opt out, Bisping. I don't like the idea that we are so obsessed with our phones and so obsessed with social media. I feel like we are constantly at odds with each other. People are constantly arguing. I deleted Twitter off my cell phone because I was constantly arguing with people. And I'm like, I'm arguing about shit I don't even care about. I don't fucking care, but I get caught up in these things. And I'm like, this isn't the way society is supposed to be. Society, we're supposed to collaborate together. Every single day, there's supposed to be somebody at the store that I don't know. I don't care about their social or political background or what they give a fuck about. They went to work. I came to work. Today, we have to collaborate and go home. And to survive, we have to work together. for some reason that's being lost right now where everyone's living their lives on social media. That, like, it was a good speech, right?
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Fucking hell. Fuck Heal you. The world, Lewis. Make Suck it a dick. Better place.
I hope Chad Mendes is fucks for you up. And I hope for he takes you down double leg. You don't know what to do.
Human race. We are people crying. I don't know the rest of the
Bisping
words.
Screaming for help. Help. Chad Mendes is on top of me. I can't get him off. Help.
Here's what I was saying earlier, okay? We were going to go up to Big Bear, and I still think it's a good idea, right? So I looked at the cabins. There's some beautiful cabins we can get. Although there's a lot of them, they're beautiful, but the inside are like very, they're stuck in the 90s or the 80s. They're a bit too cabin in the wild for me. You can have it from the exterior, but the insides are a little much. But some of them are very, very nice. Now, but then I thought, so we go up to Big Bear, which is a beautiful drive that you will enjoy. And we're there and like, we could probably go on the lake. We can go fishing, you know, you can take the cable cars all the way right to the top of the mountain. That's cool. You know, we're only going to be there for a couple of days. There's plenty of stuff and it's beautiful. It's something different. Or, because this is what I always do, or we could just go grab a hotel right on the fucking beach, right? We get room services made. We walk out. We have breakfast there, sat by the ocean. The kids play in the pool. They play in the beach. We just lie there. We drink cocktails. Or we could be trudging about, making our own breakfast and fucking about like that. I'm leaning towards the 20-minute drive at the beach, if I'm honest. But, Lewis, it's your trip. It's your trip. You tell me what you want.
Hollywood Bisping speaks. I mean, it's very obvious. He wants some... He wants some room service. He wants things taken care of. Look,
well, what do you want?
What do I want? Bear. Can I tell you?
That is literally the question that I'm asking you.
You want to yes, know?
What I want to know.
Okay.
What would you and James prefer? Because I can do either at any time. You don't live here. So you tell me what you want.
What do you think will be a more unique experience for James? That he will remember more. That's what I care about. I just care about him fucking having like another memory. You know, we've camped, we've gone to the beach, we've done both these things. One of the things that I want to do with him though is I want him to be able to fucking, you know, bond with Lucas, play, have a lot of fun. You know,
but they'll do that. They can do that on both because if we're down at the beach, we can rent a boat down there. We can go fishing one day. They can play in the ocean and play in the waves. They can make sandcastles. We can all bury Lewis up to his neck and then, you know, abuse him and film it on TV.
There ain't enough sand.
You know, or they can do the same thing up at Big Bear. It's just your choice. You want to be by the beach or you want to be by the water in the mountain. We're both going to be by the water, but it's going to be a little more convenient down at the beach, but it's going to be more spectacular at the ocean. Although it depends what kind of view you prefer. You tell me, I can go to the beach now in 25 minutes and go to Big Bear in an hour and a half. I've done them both many times. You tell me.
I'm leaning toward Big Bear. I got to be honest with you.
Big Bear it is. Bow, 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 bow.
I'm leaning toward Big Bear. Can I tell you why? Because I want to, look, I'm bringing James's boxing gloves, some mitts. I feel like it's going to be more of a conducive area to go do a little training in the woods. If we want to have a fucking pit fight with our children, do you think we're going to get arrested if we do it on the beach? If we're in the woods where no one can hear them scream?
Okay, there's a lot of weirdos in Big Bear, though. Just throwing it out there, okay?
Peter Ortiz. Just staring at us.
who incidentally is running for the mayor of Huntington Beach.
I thought he was becoming a cop.
Yeah, I saw on Barcinia Depot this morning. He was talking about being a cop. But somebody asked him about being a cop, and he's like, no, to be honest.
Fuck, I'll be mayor.
I'm thinking one up a little higher. I'm going to run for mayor. And you never know.
Brian,
what happened then?
I'm hearing your sound, Brian.
All good. Anyway, so all right, well, Big Bear it is then. I sent you those two cabins. You just got to confirm exactly which date so I can book it. Okay.
Let's do Tuesday and Wednesday night.
All right. So you're going to get here, what, Monday night?
I'll get there Monday night. Yeah.
Okay. And then Tuesday morning, we'll drive up to Big Bear nice and early.
Yep.
Okay. In our house, we always say nice and early, and it's never nice and early.
It's fine.
We envisage for nice and early, but Rebecca takes quite a long time to get ready. Okay.
Mr. Bisping, we really should thank Ridge Wallet. I love my Ridge Wallet. If you guys don't know, Ridge Wallet is the classiest wallet you could have. It's a wallet from the future. It's two metal plates that are banded together. You can fit, I think, like 20 or 30 cards in here. If you guys are looking on the cameras right now, you can see I have all my IDs in here, my wallet, my credit card. It has a little money clip, so I keep my cash right there. It comes in titanium, aluminum, carbon fiber, over 12 colors. Bisping, is there a cooler wallet on the planet? I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see Harrington's. Harrington, as we know, is a trendsetter. He's a fashion guru. So maybe Harrington would be the only person that would have something better. But here's the deal. The Ridge is a minimal front pocket wallet that is designed to streamline whatever you carry every single day. Also, it has 30,000 five-star reviews and is a better way to carry your cash and cards. Simple as that, right? Streamline the way you carry stuff. Be part of the 30,000 people that just think this wallet is the shit. It's as simple as that, okay? You're out, you're stylish, you're happy, you fucking go to meet your significant other, you whip it out, you look like fucking James Bond. You look like a forward-thinking, fashion-forward icon, a guru. People will look at you like the leader that you are if you have that wallet. If you pull out Lewis's wallet, not Lewis's wallet, Brian's wallet. Pulling out Brian's wallet looks like his grandma bought it in 1942. It's covered in fluff and hairballs, maybe a little ejaculation on there. Maybe the blue chew got ahead of itself. It's covered in cum, it's covered in mess, it's covered in bank cards, phone numbers of guys that he never intends to call because he hasn't got the nerve to do it. You won't have any of that embarrassment with the Ridge wallet. The Ridge wallet, whoa, whoa, whoa. Keep it on the wallet. Now, if you've got the wallet, listen, all jokes aside, this thing is awesome. It's very futuristic, very modern, very streamlined. And as you said, Lewis, comes in a variety of different designs.
And the best part of all, best thing, as always, it's not like we're just touting this amazing wallet. Obviously, we want you to go check it out, but we're going to give you a discount. So you can go and get the Ridge wallet.
Whoa, I got to stop you. You forgot to tell them about the lifetime warranty.
You know what? Kick me off the show. This is probably my last appearance. This was an embarrassing moment for me. I apologize, Bisson.
There was a lifetime. You tell me, any wallet store. Okay, you go to Wallets R Us. You walk in. You buy the most expensive one. Okay, you like the alligator skin, and you're not afraid to throw a couple of $1,000 down on a wallet where you shouldn't be spending that kind of money. But whatever, you're a big deal. You're spending $2,000 on a wallet. What's going to happen? In 5 years, you're going to have to buy another one. Fucking Ridge, right? The year is 2063. They're still in business, and you have a lifetime guarantee. Bow, 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 bow.
Mixed martial arts is illegal. Curse words are illegal. Everyone's been canceled. It's just women in power. The president is a gay man, and he's got
two Ridge wallets, okay? Anyone of any kind of power has two Ridge wallets, okay?
Of course.
And right now, if you buy one, you get one free. No, you don't. But we have got a tremendous offer. Tell them about it, Lewis.
Right now, if you go to Ridge.com, it is not as good as buy one, get one free. But you know what? That would be too good. That would be too much, okay?
Yeah, slow your roll. Calm down.
All you got to do is go to Ridge.com/BYM for Believe You Me. And when you check out, use the code BYM. You save 10% off your entire order. That is buy 9 Ridge wallets, get one free. And I think that's a better offer in its own way.
17 Ridge wallets, you get one free.
It's an amazing offer. Once again, Ridge.com/BYM. Use that code BYM, 10% off. All right, let's get back into it.
All right, let's get into some of these notes. We've waffled for long enough. We'll just go through them in numbers. Number one, Team Elevation welcomes in champion Kamaru Usman to train for the Gilbert fight next month, the Gilbert Burns fight, despite Henry Hoof vowing to skip the fight and training entirely. All right, so as we know, Gilbert Burns, Kamaru Usman, teammates, trained with each other for about 8 years now, I think, something like that. So, you know, they're good friends, they're teammates, they train together day in, day out. They're fighting each other for the title pretty soon in Fight Island, Abu Dhabi. Henry Hoof, I mean, my God, that's annoying for Henry. So he's saying that he's going to step away, but he's got a champion and he's got the number one contender. You know, I mean, that could be like a big payday, but you can't train two guys at once. So anyway, Kamaru's left town, or not left town, he's jumped ship, or not jumped ship, he's just stepped away to a different training camp.
And Gilbert's going to have to as well, obviously, because Henry Hoof says
Harrington,
out.
So Harrington, is Henry Hoof not training either?
Yeah, so Henry Hoof said he's removing himself from the fight entirely, doesn't want to get involved. He welcomed both guys to train at the gym with coaches that they want to bring in or coaches that are on the team. However you guys want to split it up, he just said he was sitting this one out. Yeah. So Gilbert is still welcome to train at Hard Knocks 365 for this fight.
And Usman has gone to Elevation. He's also going to be training with Trevor Whitman as well, right, from what I saw online.
Well, Bisping, what do you think? I mean, obviously, you know, from just an outside perspective, it's probably in a weird way, or maybe, I don't know, I guess it's case by case. Do you think it might do some good for Kamaru to get some outside training, go into a different camp, just mix things up a little bit overall. I mean, Kamaru is very, very high level. You know, maybe it could be a positive benefit.
Absolutely, I do. I'm a big fan of both of them, so may the best man win. And I got to be careful what I say because I'm commentating the fight. But you cannot doubt that I think it will be beneficial for Kamaru because he's going to a different environment, different training partners, and high-level coaches. I mean, Trevor Whitman, he is one of the best minds in mixed martial arts. You know, sometimes on the UFC broadcast, they have Trevor Whitman there. Obviously, because of the COVID thing, he hasn't done that recently. But normally, he's there as like a fifth cornerman, and he comments on the corner work and what he's seeing in the fight and what perhaps the fighter needs to change in his approach. And I got to say, some of the stuff that he says is I agree with it every time, and he's a fucking genius. And look at what he's done to guys like Justin Gaethje. So for Usman to get that fresh look, that, you know, another set of eyes of another really high level coach like Trevor Whitman, and then plus new training partners where he's not, you know, you get so familiar with your training partners, you almost know what to expect. Like if I'm, you know, so you go to a gym, you got four or five guys, you always rotate. And every time you get to this guy, like, okay, I know he's just going to come for a double leg every time. And you got to watch the guillotine with him on the floor. And then this guy, fuck, he's got a big right hand. You know Johnny's going to come with a big right hand. So you know your training partners. He's going up there to a new place. You know, so it's going to be a whole new challenge. He's going to learn some new things, some new drills. He'll probably add some new things. So I'm not saying that favors Kamaru in the fight, but it's definitely going to be beneficial in the training camp.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for Henry Hoof, it's great. It's a win-win. No matter what happens, Henry Hoof walks away with the champion. So it's very easy. It's not. I mean, I guess it's a hard position to be in, but it's probably the easiest position in the world.
I don't know what's happening, but like, you're wrong because it looks like Henry's just lost Kamaru. I don't know if he's going to stay.
Oh, you think? Oh, you think he's lost him for good?
Well, you never know. He might go up there. Number one, they're at elevation, hence the name, but they're in Denver, the Mile High City. So he's going to have that, you know, the actual elevation training aspect. That's going to be beneficial. He might have that and think, wow, I need this every time in my life. He might go up there and just think, wow, this training's so good. Because unfortunately, sometimes the training isn't necessarily better. It's just different. And the difference kind of shocks the system. And it's also refreshing because it breaks up the monotony of the training camp. So therefore, Kamaru may perceive it as better. Like, oh, the training is just better. When in reality, it's not. It's just different. And it breaks up the mundane routine. So you never know. After this fight, Kamaru might say, I'm just spitballing on a podcast, so please don't take offense, Kamaru or Henry Hooft. You know, I'm making this shit up as I go along. But it is a possibility that he might say, you know what, Henry, thank you for everything, but I really enjoyed that training camp, and I think I'm going to stick around for a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. We'll see. Time will tell. I'm actually getting more and more excited about this fight as we talk about it. Not only because Gilbert Burns was a great guest in the show, and I really like him, but to be honest with you, I think Kamaru is a really, I don't want to say underrated, because I think people that are in the know really talk about Kamaru like he's next level, but I feel like he's just not one of the guys that people are super excited to watch fight right now.
Well, he's definitely got the skills. He's got the athletic prowess. He's got the size. He's got the fighting. You know, he's got that whole side of it down. I just think, you know, you got Masvidal. He's got real star power. You got Conor McGregor. He's got charisma for days and things like that.
Yeah, that division has a lot of star power.
Usman, whilst he's the champion and undisputed champion, and Gilbert Burns, massive fan of his, he's definitely got a tough fight on his hands. Kamaru's the champion for a reason, but he doesn't necessarily have that massive, massive star power. That's not a knock on his character or anything like that, but it's just maybe I'm wrong. That's kind of how I see it. But I
think UFC fans need to see somebody over and over again. It's rare. I mean, look, you see certain like guys sort of get meteoric pushes, right? And it just happens overnight, it feels like. But even then, it's not. Like, Conor had a lot of fights in the UFC. You forget, it wasn't like Conor just came in overnight. Conor fought, I mean, Marcus Brimage, I remember that was, I think, his first fight in the UFC. He fought a couple like smaller fights on undercards. It wasn't like just an immediate push. It's rare. Even Jones, he had a lot of fights in the UFC, undercard fights, and they start to make some noise. So I think...
Yeah, and on that note, sorry to cut you off, but with Conor, Yeah, you're right. He did. He come in and he had some undercard fights and things like that. But then it was at the press conferences afterwards, you know, he came out with some classic one-liners. Like, he had that fucking monocle or that pocket watch. And he was like, oh, a number of people have died just to make this watch. And so he had all the press laughing, is what I'm trying to say. And it's because of that, the UFC saw that they're like, hold on a minute, this motherfucker can fight. He's just knocked out his opponent very, very fast. And then he's entertaining everybody and holding court at the press conference. This guy's a potential star. Let's get behind him. They don't just get behind someone because they take one look at him and think, oh, this guy's great. No, they look at them, they track them, they watch them, then they're like, okay, this is the guy, he's worth getting behind.
And the couple times that it seems like they did that, I feel like it sort of bit the UFC in the ass. So you see somebody like Sage Northcutt or Paige VanZant, which are the two that I always bring up, where they're the good looking, like they look like cookie cutter. Like, you want to see these two win because they're you know, so nice and friendly and marketable and good looking. And I feel like the UFC preemptively pushed them a little bit. And then they had some tough losses and it was sort of hard to resell them and repackage them as being these fucking, you know, unbeatable badasses.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Paige VanZant there, because I was watching an interview this morning on ESPN with Ariel Helwani, I think it was, and she's talking about how she's fighting out a contract, talking about how I made more money on Dancing with the Stars than all of my UFC fights combined, so I'm fighting out my contract.
You wouldn't have gotten on Dancing with the Stars without being in the UFC. I mean,
would not have got a sniff of Dancing with the Stars if you weren't on the UFC. So it's all, you know, it all opens doors. You know, you get a platform and that opens other doors. It's like me with my fighting. I wouldn't have this podcast. I wouldn't be talking. I wouldn't be doing acting roles. That all came from fighting and people watching that and recognizing and, you know, liking what you do. And therefore it gives you more opportunities. It all starts with the fighting. And Paige VanZant, she's playing a risky game that I wish her all the best. She's a lovely girl, but she's got a really tough fight against Amanda Ribas. And I don't know, you know, saying I'm going to go out there and test the free agency, that's all well and good, but you want to go to the free agency on a win. You don't want to go on there on a loss.
That's, you know, true. But to be honest with you, somebody like Paige VanZant, she is so marketable at this point because of the push that the UFC gave her. And also, she's an exciting fighter. She's beautiful. She's very charismatic. You know, that all, it's a whole package there, right? The problem was she wasn't able to get a UFC title. If she got the title, she'd be a fucking movie star right now, right? If she was that good, she would be a household name. She had some tough losses. And I think, for somebody like Paige, she could probably go and make more money outside of the UFC just based off her name. Because maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that she'll ever be a UFC champion.
Yeah. So what weight division is she? She's strawweight, 115, and the champion is Zhang Weili, Yan Jacek, Rose Namajunas. Yeah, with the greatest of respect, I don't see her. I mean, she's a good fighter. She had some good wins.
Now.
I don't see, she's 125 now. Fucking hell, Shevchenko. There's no one taking out Shevchenko at 125. So that's not a knock on Paige. You know, talking to people that are marketable and that seem to be getting a push. Sugar Sean O'Malley is another one who, by the way, has great taste in books. He sent me a message saying, Mike, I just finished Quitters Never Win. Just an outstanding read. Had me in tears, I think is what he said.
We got to get him back on. That was one of the only episodes that doesn't exist anymore. If you remember, we had him and it's not out there anymore.
Okay, I'll tell you why. Where am I? I'm in Atlanta. I'm filming an episode of MacGyver, right? Here's what happens for anyone that hasn't acted. When you go there early, they always get you in early. You got wardrobe fittings. You got things like that. You know, you got to do medicals and stuff, you know, so you get in a lot of the time, like a week before you're even due to be on set. You know what I mean? And idle hands are the devil's what? What is that? Devil's what?
Playthings.
Yes. Yes, that's the saying I was looking for. Idle hands are the devil's playthings. So I'm like, I'm in Atlanta, right? I've got nothing else to do. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have had lunch. I'm like, I'll have a cheeky beer, just a cheeky one. And that just led to another 2, 3, 4. You know what I mean? And then I went to the hotel bar when I got back and I thought, well, I've got a cheeky little buzz and I'll just have another one while I kill time for the podcast. And the podcast, we weren't doing it until like 9:30 p.m. at night. And then I'm having a few more at the bar and I'm like, I'm feeling good. I've got to do the podcast now. Oh, might as well take a six pack up to the room and continue drinking while we do the podcast. And then by the time Sugar Sean O'Malley came on, I was fucking hammered. Okay. I was drunk.
You weren't even bad on the show. He was like, this is also very early in the podcast where I think you were a little more self-conscious about like, whatever it was, you weren't like, I don't think now, if the same podcast came out now, I was drunk. You would have deleted it. You didn't say anything stupid.
I didn't say anything stupid, but I just felt like I was being a little combative with Sugar Sean, and he was taking time out of his day to be a guest on our show. And I don't know. I was a little drunk and I heard it back and I'm like, no.
Yeah, I don't like this. I don't sound good. No, he canceled himself. So, but don't worry. Bisping canceled himself.
I canceled myself. There you go. So anyway, yeah, Sugar Sean O'Malley Harrington, welcome to the show again, my friend. Just give us a bit of a breakdown, because you've got O'Malley. He's having some kind of issue with some merchandise or something. Just break that down for me and the listeners, please.
Yeah, so Sugar Sean O'Malley was recently interviewed talking about the merch deal that he has with Reebok. He says that he got the numbers back. His Sugar Show brand did about $1 million in sales, and he says he only saw about 3K of that, of what was supposed to be 15% in royalties. So not a good deal for him.
Yeah, so you conveniently left out the Reebok part. You never said it was Reebok. I mean, I don't want to sit here and shit on Reebok and the UFC's deal. I'm like, abort, edit that bit out. I thought it was some like shitty little rinky-dink sponsor. I was ready to go hard and say, yeah, fuck these sponsors, ripping off fighters. That's the first time you mentioned Reebok. Reebok.
Well, the problem is we did too much Sugar Sean setup, so we should, we got to do an angle on it.
I'm joking. We don't have to edit it out. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. I'm always joking when I say that, you bastard. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that sounds like a lot of merchandise, $1 million worth. He is popular now, though.
He's supposed to get 15%. What's the deal with that? Is it just sort of like just the process? I mean, look, we're in the middle of a massive quarantine. I know certain things could get mixed. I don't understand sort of the angle there. It wasn't like he got a 3,000 and a million. I'm assuming he's owed the money by Reebok still now.
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. I haven't seen a contract. I don't know my contract. I don't remember the specifics of mine. But I do know that I never really saw much out of that. But I don't think it's a massive money spinner. But go on, Harrington.
Well, he explained that they broke down the deductions for him, right? So there's 15% that goes to, you know, this way, and 8% that goes that way, and then you get half of the, you know, final net. I think it's just the way that the contract worked out with that.
It's very funny because go listen to Bill Burr on Joe Rogan's podcast. Bisping, it's great. It's a really good conversation. But he talks about Hollywood math, about how it's just like you go in, they make so much money, and then like you're getting pennies on the dollar. And that's just Hollywood across the board. If you're dealing with an agent, a movie, like the amount of money that it costs to produce these movies, I have no idea where the cash goes, but we produce this podcast for almost nothing. Almost nothing. If this was a TV show.
And you can tell. Look at the special effects that we've had. The smoke coming out of Harrington's ears. I mean, that was $1 million right there.
Doggy, they're using Zoom on fucking NBC, CBS, the same shit. They don't look any better than us.
No, you're right. So I thought it was going to be some little sponsor that kind of, you know, shortchanging O'Malley. You never know what's going on. I do know that I was very happy when the Reebok deal came in. I was happy because I used to always be chasing sponsors. Sponsors had a habit of, you know, not paying, according to my manager at the time, saying they'd never paid. You never know what to believe. But I know some guys out there don't pay. It's funny what you said about Bill Burr there, because I've done a few acting things. I'm still working on it. Hopefully got a few coming up later in the year. But I do get those little residual checks, those little checks now and again. And they can be nice. You know, some of them come through. I got one yesterday, $16 for my appearance in Twin Peaks, which isn't bad considering that came out years ago and I had one scene and I had one line, which was, hold on, you ready for it?
I want to hear it.
That's right. That was it. I got $16 for that from fucking 4 or 5 years ago.
That's right.
But it's the way I delivered it, though.
Did you deliver it once or did you deliver it twice? Was it twice? That's right, that's right, or like, that's right?
That's right. That's right. Like, I doubled down on the that's right. I had like two exclamation marks.
All right, well, what
allow me to explain. Ask me a question. Just say a comment.
You're gay. That's right. Piss me, you're gay, right?
That's right.
Here we go. Do it a little more gay now.
No, I can't. I was going to, but I can't. I don't want to get canceled. We're onto a good thing here.
Do it like you're. Do it like you find me amusing.
That's right. It's so right.
Now imagine you are responding to Chad Money Mendez.
That's fucking Chad Money Mendez. We Chad Money Mendez. Well, what did he call him? What did Connor call him? What did he call him? Fuck off. Anyway, who cares? Who gives a fuck? No, but those little those residual checks when they come in, they're good. I had one a while ago. It was like $3,000 for XXX, you know. And if you're one of these actors that's done like hundreds, you know, if you're a legit actor that's done starring roles, those checks when they come in, they must be nice. Because as I say, I've only done, you know, little role here, little role there, but still had some nice checks flying in. If you're the star of a major motion picture,
Television shows where it's at. So you get on a television show, it's absolutely crazy. Seinfeld, I heard, could live easy just off his residuals. Just off all those shows like Friends, those, you understand how it works. But when they get paid every time that is on TV ever. I was on the Jim Gaffigan show. I acted in one little scene. I still get residual checks from that.
Yeah, every and time it's on
now,
TV,
by the way. Digital every time as well.
Every time it's on TV, if it's in a new country, every time it's on that TV network out there, you get a check each and every time. Of course, if you're not the star, you know, it all whittles down. If you're the star, you'll get, you know, a big check, and it whittles down to even me just saying, that's right. 15 years later or 5 years later, you'll still get a fucking $16 check. It's enough for a lunch. I'm not turning my nose about it, baby boy.
Let's see, Paige Van Zandt, play your cards right.
You know, fucking hell. You could be getting $16. Okay, think about that. What else we got here in the notes? Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett obviously fought last week against Shane Burgos in what I would say, and we talked about this on Monday, a fight of the year contender. I feel if it wasn't for Jan Jacek versus Zhang Weili at the start of the year, which for my money is the fight of the year so far, Emmett and Burgos probably a close second. Saying here, Josh Emmett was fighting the entire 3-round co-main event with a torn ACL. He also suffered the following injuries in the fight: an MCL sprain with partial tearing, a Baker's cyst rupture, a focal impact fracture on the femur on the lateral chondral defect on the tibia lateral matching impact area. So he had those, but he also had a torn ACL, Harrington.
Yeah, he says he felt it tear in the initial 15 seconds of the fight and just said, all right, got to power through this one.
Yeah. Well, you can see it happening. When the fight first started, he kind of stumbled back on his leg. And then he was mentioning it all the way through the fight. He actually mentioned it to his cornermen. But I don't know if that would be a full tear. You never know. It might be a grade one, grade two. Grade one is 0 to 25%. Grade two, 25 to 50%. Grade three, what do you think it's going to be, Lewis?
I'm going to say 60 to 67%.
Oh, you bang on the money. Bang on the money. So, yeah, you never know. Apparently, you can still fight, train, and you don't even need surgery if it's just like up to a 50% tear that will heal itself and you can get treatment for it. So anyway, I wish Josh Emmett all the best and congrats again.
Anyone, so you know, good for him. He can complain about the injuries afterwards and do it with a sense of pride. Like if you lose the fight, you can't list all of your injuries. But if you won, you could be like, hey, by the way, let me explain to you how badass I am.
Exactly, Chad Mendez. Shut the fuck up. I don't care at all. All right, this is the time you need to focus on your health. We're all social distancing. We're stuck in our houses, and we have watched everything on Netflix. You know what you should do? You should get on the ground, do some push-ups, start lifting those weights that are collecting dust in the corner of your room, Lewis.
Yeah, listen to me. All you got to do is, during this time, you should be taking advantage of the fact that you have a lot of downtime. Get ripped so when COVID goes away, you can go to the beach and not be afraid to take your shirt off, okay? You know what's scarier than coronavirus? What your body is going to look like in July after quarantine and eating cookies for weeks.
Yeah, and you want to get the proper nutrients into your system. So my friends at Naked Nutrition, they have got all the protein and supplemental needs you need. Their incredible Naked Whey protein is made from grass-fed cow's milk in California. That's it. One ingredient, grass-fed whey protein. No artificial sweetener, no GMO, no growth hormone, no soy, no gluten. No crap going in your body that you don't know what it's going to do down the line. Naked Nutrition is nutrition with nothing to hide. And all of their products are third-party tested and perfect for fueling work workouts and muscle growth. This morning, I was in there. I had a blast at a workout. Just had my Naked Nutrition. Had a few of their other powders, the Vital Greens and things like that in there as well. Mix it all up. There you go. Meal replacement and a shake and recovery all roped into one. And if you want to give it a try, all you got to do is go to nkdnutrition.com. That's nkdnutrition.com. And use the code BISPING, B-I-S-P-I-N-G. You will get 15% off your first order. Check it out, nkdnutrition.com. Okay, where were we? Mickey Gall fights Mike Perry this weekend.
I'm excited.
Mike Perry, I'm excited as well because it's going to be a good fight, clash of styles. Mike Perry's a bit of a wild man. Let me ask you this, Lewis. Did you happen to see the interview that he did with Ariel Helwani? I doubt you did.
No, I did not see it. But I will say, and I am a friend of Mickey's, I'm a fan of Mike Perry's. I think he's great. I think characters like that are excellent for the sport. Win, lose, or draw, he always comes and has a great fight, and he's fucking entertaining. You said it before, off mic. He's really entertaining, or I'm sorry, on mic, out of the cage as well, which, you know, if he can get it together and really get to that next level, he could be a massive, massive star.
Oh, absolutely. He's also batshit crazy. I'll just throw that out there. But in a good way, you know what I mean? He's definitely a wild one. He was talking to Ariel Helwani. I was in bed this morning just watching it. And, you know, one of the things was he was talking about his new girlfriend being in his corner. And he's really, you know, he truly means that. He said, listen, I don't care. I'm just going to go out there and fight. And to a certain degree, that is correct. You know, you don't necessarily need a cornerman, but a cornerman will help you. You know, in between rounds, he will try and identify the good things you're doing, maybe the bad things you're doing, maybe calm you down. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, I guess I'd rather have a good cornerman, but I would go into a fight without one. I've gone into many fights without a cornerman, Lewis, but he's going to have his girlfriend. And he says, it's fine. She was a high school wrestler. So there you go.
Hell yeah. I bet she won every match too.
That's funny. Callum's girlfriend was a high school wrestler. And I said to my wife, I said, that's equivalent to me having Josie in my corner.
Yeah,
to which crazy. We laughed. Yeah, no, well, Perry.
Look, I'll tell you right now, when I did the fight at Ellis Mania, which I'm going on Jason Ellis' show today to talk about possibly fighting him at Ellis Mania 20, but you being in my corner legitimately was a massive difference. I've told the story before, and you identified, you're like, dude, what are you doing? Fucking, you like lay into that right hand. You're gonna land it every time at will. And I didn't recognize it at all. I was just fucking tired and lost. And then I just started landing it and throwing it and throwing it and throwing it. And I would have never recognized it if you hadn't sort of been there. So have those eyes out there. I mean, I personally experienced it. I thought it was a huge difference, and maybe the difference between me winning that fight. So I don't know. I think Mike Perry. I don't think there's any benefit in not having a cornerman. I mean, obviously negative sides of having a bad cornerman. Have you ever had a bad cornerman who was telling you bad shit or shit that was, you know, that you were like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I've had plenty of shitty cornermen over the years that are just fakes, charlatans, imposters, wannabes that want to be seen on TV. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had plenty of them.
He's talking about somebody specific.
I'm talking about a few people specifically. Step into my office. The thing is, the curious thing about Mike Perry with this decision, and again, not knocking Mike, can't wait to see the fight of the weekend, very excited for it, is that he's allowed three cornermen, but he's like, nope, I'm having my girlfriend, and that's that. And listen, love is blind. He just got with his new chick. They're very deeply passionate in love right now. She's a good-looking girl, you know. Easy, Lewis.
What? By the way, that's what men do. This is a thing you have to almost, this is what happens when you walk through New York with a hot chick. Like if the guy will say to you, it's like, yo, man, you know, you got a beautiful woman right there. And if they do that, you're like, all right, that's fine. But you're technically hitting on my girlfriend in front of me, but you're doing it in a respectful way. So I'm saying, Mike Perry, good for you, buddy. Good for you.
Yeah, God bless. And that's not a believe you me, God bless. That's you know, good for you. Whatever makes you happy. And I hope you have a solid performance this weekend. May the best man win between him and Mickey Gall. What do you think about that fight? I mean, because it blew my mind when we had Mickey on a couple of weeks ago. I mean, what was his record again? 5-1, 6-1?
Yeah, he was 2-0 when he made his UFC debut. He's actually the biggest underdog on the card, Mickey, which is pretty crazy. Look, it's a little bit scary of a fight when you know the guy going into it. Like, I know Mickey, you know, probably better than any fighter except for you. And it's a fucking scary fight. But look, I think Mickey's got an incredible skill set. He's just been working on striking nonstop for a couple of years now, and his cardio is great. He's obviously got a massive jiu-jitsu advantage. I think Mickey, you know, I think he should be able to. I'm going to put money on this fight. I swear to God, without a doubt, I'm actually putting money on the fight because I think. What's the? I know that Perry is a minus 330 favorite. What is Mickey as an underdog, Harrington?
You can get Mickey as high as plus 280.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good bet right there. I mean, he's got to get it to the ground, obviously. But I think
you do know, listen, I'm commentating, so I can't lean either way. But I will say this. Perry trains or has been training for a while with Jacare Souza, Rodolfo Vieira, I think that's his name. He's training with some really, really high-level jiu-jitsu guys. And when I say high-level, I mean top of the food chain jiu-jitsu guys. And when you combine that with his, you know, his mentalness, his outlandish want to brawl, he's willing to stand there and swing like a maniac, it's definitely a tough fight for both guys. Mickey Gore looked good in his last fight against Diego Sanchez. I think that was his last fight. He lost that fight, but the striking looked improved, is what I was going to say. Diego managed to get him down. Diego's got tons of experience, high level black belt himself, and you know, he kind of out grappled him in that department. But on the feet, Mickey's striking did look much more improved, so I'm looking forward to that one. Where should we go next? Lewis, what do you think, bud?
What do we got on the notes here? Let's
see. The main event, should we just talk real fast about the main event? We've got Dan Hooker versus Dustin Poirier in the main event, which is a tremendous fight.
Yeah, I mean, should be, I mean, these guys are both guys who come in and fucking set the cage on fire. I mean, it's gonna be a barn burner. Harrington has a pretty intense breakdown here of how many shots per minute and this, that, the other. It's all great. I mean, I'm excited about it. Yeah, I'm just more excited about Mickey Gall versus...
Hey, and that's the way it goes. When you know somebody and you and Mickey, your boys, you've hung out a bunch, he's been on the podcast a lot and he's come to watch you at Legion of Skanks, you could say that he's a sick old fan a little bit, you know, a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, maybe a lot. And that's cool. That's your main event. It is the co-main event anyway. No, it's a good fight. But yeah, Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker. That's a good fight, man. Dustin Poirier, he's a guy, obviously we saw his last time. He got beat against Khabib Nurmagomedov. That was his trying to unify the interim and the undisputed belt. Didn't go his way. No shame. Khabib's a beast. You know, he's beating everybody. He's undefeated. But I watched Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje last night. And Jesus Christ, Dustin Poirier looked good in that fight.
Yeah.
Gaethje throws a lot of leg kicks, and every time Justin would throw a leg kick, Poirier would counter with 4, 5, 6, 7 punch combinations. He was fucking on fire, just absolutely on fire, just a beautiful performance. And if that Dustin Poirier shows up this weekend, Dan Hooker is in for a very, very difficult night at the office. That's as much as I'll say, but Hooker, well, he's no slouch either.
Yeah, I mean, Hooker's killing it right now. He actually has a win over Gilbert Burns at lightweight. This is return to lightweight. He's got wins over Ally Quinta, Paul Felder. I mean, yeah, he's real deal. 7-1. Dan Hooker, it's another guy. It's so funny because lightweight is one of these divisions where you could have 7 wins in a row, 8 wins in a row, and then people start noticing that you're on a fucking tear. It's a super tough division.
Yeah, I'm just looking at MMA Junkie at their headlines to see if there's anything worth, you know, worth discussing anything about. Good? Well, it's Van Sant says she's going to test free agency. We've discussed that. I mean, we're way ahead of this. Oh, a complete guide to Dana White Contender Season 4. That starts pretty soon. I'm happy to say that I'll be commentating that one, so keep an eye out for that as we go down. Mendez fires back at wooden eye having moron Bisping.
It's not a wooden eye. That's a fucking high-tech piece of, yeah. That's an expensive ass eye.
It's a fucking high-tech piece of prosthesis. It's a prosthetic eye with minerals that are only found in outer space. Okay, that's why they're so hard to come by.
Sorry, Chad Mendez, maybe you don't understand space minerals.
Wrong again, Chad. Okay, it's getting a little embarrassing at this stage. Wood, rather like kind of, what is this, Long John Silver? You think I'm a pirate? You think I've got a wooden eye?
What year is this? When's the last time they were doing wooden eyes? I mean, Jesus Christ, Chad Mendez, way off with the wooden eye comment.
Jesus Christ. So yeah, there we go. We got, what else we got?
Oh, can I, you know what I want to bring up? Because we talked about this on the last show, and we sort of laughed it off. And fucking Mike Tyson released some training footage. And I know training footage is different than fighting, but I got to say, Mike Tyson on the pads in this latest footage looks like a monster. Michael Bisping, I don't know shit about fighting. Please break this down. Is there any, because we talked about him possibly fighting somebody like John Jones, and we're like, no way, it would never be sanctioned. But just in pure boxing, I mean, this looks as powerful as it gets.
All right, all right. Now listen, let's take a look. It's easy to look good on pads, mind you, especially with a good pad man. But, you know, this is Iron Mike Tyson we're talking about. Roll tape, please, Brian. So here's Tyson looking in fucking good shape, mind you. He got really heavy at one stage.
53 years old.
Looking good, looking fast, looking sharp, moving the head well, moving the body, still explosive.
The footwork, see how he like turns around like that? It's like, dude, it's really
firing
good.
Firing up from the legs, using all that posterior chain, the glutes, the thighs to generate power into the punches.
Look at
that's why. But how long can he do that for? That's the real question.
How long does he need to do it for against John Jones? I mean, all he's got to do is
that wasn't the question. How long can he do it for? Okay. Because those clips, and again, I'm not knocking Mike Tyson. Jesus Christ. I'm a huge fan. But those clips, they're edited together. You know, combo here, combo there, combo here, because it's hard. You know, so, hey, listen, it's I and Mike Tyson. I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying the reality is...
So Detective Bisping, you put your detective hat on right now.
Okay, okay.
You look at the footage. You say, okay, it looks good, but you see that these are clips. This isn't one long 3-minute video of him moving. They're taking the best moments. And you are saying, maybe, what are you saying, Bisping? Please explain.
I'd say,
this.
Your Honor, please, 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 objection to this evidence being, to this tape being allowed as evidence, because you can clearly see that this is a doctored tape. They have taken this, they have edited down, they've took out all the parts of him with his hands on his knees, going, hey, man, my defense is impenetrable. I can't do a Mike Tyson. And yeah, all the parts where he's out of breath, Your Honor, they've cut them out. They've gone to iMovie. It's a very rudimentary program that everybody has on their phone. It's easy to do, Your Honor. Even Harrington could do it. I rest my case. They've taken out all the slow bits, the bits where he's out of breath, and they've just put on the good bits, which is fine. You know how I do that? Because I do it myself. I do it myself when I do pads these days, okay? I know the tricks of the trade, how to make yourself look like a beast, okay? Edit out the shit, leave in the good. Harness the good energy, block the bad. You put your quarter in, you ride the carousel. Harness the good energy, block the bad.
So this footage, you see this and you say, all right, you're not convinced that he can still hang with John Jones.
I'm saying he knocks John Jones out. There you go.
You think so?
The fight's not going to happen. Never in a million years.
But still, hypothetically speaking, technically, Mike Tyson was just knocking dudes out in seconds. That was sort of the thing for his career for a big portion of it. And John Jones, hey, man, he has been hit. It's not that crazy.
No, you're right. And to be honest, if you had to pick a weak skill set or a weak part of his skills, John Jones, you would identify boxing as probably his weakest part, but still, whatever. I don't know, man. But I do want to mention this, because as I was looking on MMA Junkie to see what the big stories are, I saw this, and this is kind of interesting. Obviously, Dustin Poirier fights on Saturday night, taking on Dan Hooker, as we said, and it looks like, pardon me, Dustin Poirier's charitable efforts around the time of his fights have become something of a tradition. That hasn't changed going into this Saturday's headline against Dan Hooker. Although the coronavirus pandemic has altered the reality of what's possible, Poirier and his non-profit charity organization, the Good Fight Foundation, have still come up with a plan to enhance life for those in his hometown community of Lafayette, Louisiana, even if it's just for a few hours. The Diamond will pay the fight night food tabs for all the people that come to Broder's Burger, located on blah, 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 to watch the Las Vegas, the UFC at the Apex. Basically, anyone that goes to a certain restaurant to watch his fight, he's covering the food tab for everybody. We reached out to a few locally owned restaurants and we wanted to give them a small bump in business, Poirier said. So from the beginning of the fights on Saturday to the end of the fights, from 5 p.m. to closing, we are encouraging people to come in and we're going to cover their food bill. We're even going to cover the tabs for everyone watching the fights. That's awesome. That's amazing. What do you think, Lewis?
This might bite him in the ass. Think about that. I've done that before. I've sat down. I told the story when we first signed what's his name? Oh my god, dude! I'm fucking Bruce Buffer. Bruce Buffer to the network. Did I ever tell him the podcast? I don't give a shit.
Don't talk bad about Bruce. That's my guy. Bruce.
He's awesome. Okay, but me and Ralph Sutton, who we on the network with Gas Digital, you know, Gomez and Sutton, we brought him to the Japanese restaurant right next to the Comedy Store. You know that place?
Yeah. I do. It's fucking great. Katana.
Beautiful place. Very expensive. And we did the amateur hour move. We sat down with Bruce Buffer, and we just ordered drinks. And we go, Bruce, don't worry. Bill's on us. The bill's on us. And then Bruce goes, oh, in that case, I'll have two of these. And then Bruce went on to order everything on the fucking menu. And me and Ralph just sat there like staring at him and had a $1,000 bill. We're starting out this business trying to sign up Bruce Buffer. So this is what I'm saying. Everyone within a 5-hour drive of Lafayette, Louisiana, let's go. Let's go. It's on Dustin Poirier's set. Bring the family, the friends, your cousins. They're going to be fight fans.
I'm not trying to listen. That's beautiful what Dustin's doing, but you know, and just for the sake of being funny, you know, and looking at it from another way. I mean, do you think that he would still do this if the capacity wasn't restricted to 25%? You know what I mean? It can only get so busy. It can't get packed out to the fucking rafters. He's done the math. He's like, okay, the double Angus burger with the cheese and bacon, that's the most expensive item. That's $20, okay? It's Wagyu beef. It's delicious, okay? I started taking it. And then 25% people, let's say they can have 25 people in. 25 times 25 is 250, 500,
what are the restrictions right now? Can you guys, Harrington or Brian, find out what are the restrictions in Lafayette, Louisiana right now? The capacity of this place, and if we can get the believers to go and pack it out and really tweet at us.
For the sole purpose of driving up Dustin Poirier's check.
Dude, I swear to God, if you send us a picture, if you're in Lafayette, Louisiana. Burger.
Pull it up. B-O-R-A-D.
You have to let me do this. This is so important, okay? If you send us a picture with proof that you are at this place and you hashtag Believe You Me podcast and you tag Sanable Gloves, we'll give you a free pair of Sanable Gloves as well.
Hold on. Let's do this. Brian O'Harrington, bring up Broaders Burger, B-R-O-A-D-D-U-S, Broaders Burger, and let's have a look at the menu, okay? Let's have a look.
You gotta get the highest. This is Dustin Poirier calling you right now. Dude, yeah, what are you fucking doing?
No, I think it's awesome that Dustin's doing this. But we can have a bit of fun at the expense here.
Oh, Broaders so Burger, funny.
Can we take a look at this? Anybody on the screen? Anyone?
They're probably looking for it. I'll take a moment to plug.
Mike, really quickly, we should thank Blue Chew, which is, I mean, one of the best sponsors in the world. I love Blue Chew. If you guys don't know, it is essentially a performance enhancement drug for the bedroom, except it's not against the rules. Okay, it's completely fair play. You're not going to get suspended. You're not going to be. You're not going to lose your living for a few years. You're just going to seem like the man. You guys have heard of things like, Cialis or Viagra. This is the same active ingredient as those drugs, except it's cheaper, it's faster, it's chewable. You do it all on the internet. Michael Bisping, is there anything not to love about Blue Chew?
I mean. I mean, I'll just be honest. I mean, you look at me, you think, wow, there's the perfect man. There's the perfect specimen, the human being. Like if we were going to send a human to another planet and say, this is us, they'd send me. But believe it or not, and this, you know, it's a touchy subject. On occasion, I've struggled. I'm 41 years old, baby boy. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a baby boy anymore. Do you know what? I'm getting a little bit older. But fortunately, the Blue Chews come to the rescue. You know what I mean? It just pop it in the stomach, full or empty stomach. Just pop it in your mouth, I mean. Take it and away you go. You're chewing and doing in absolutely no time. As you said, the same ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. No need to go see a doctor. You just fill in the forms online and it will be shipped to your door very quickly in discreet packaging, Lewis.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And the best part of everything is we're giving you a free trial. You don't even have to pay for this. You can go and try it and see if you like it for yourself. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. Go to bluechew.com. And when you check out, make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE. That's B-E-L-I-E-V-E. Use that promo code at bluechew.com, B-L-U-E-C-H-E-W. You're going to get your first order for free. Just $5 shipping. See if it works for you. I'm going to tell you right now, there's not a single friend of mine that has tried Blue Chew that doesn't love it. I don't think you're going to be the exception to the rule, but see if it makes a difference in your lifestyle, in your love life. See if your wife loves it. See if your boyfriend loves it, your husband, whoever it is, go chew it, go do it. Use that promo code BELIEVE at bluechew.com. All right, where were we? Guys, if you love the show, do me a favor right now, go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review.
I'll tell you right now, we love the positive reviews. You guys are the shit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Just search either Michael Bisping podcast or Believing Me podcast on YouTube. We're coming very close to 100,000 subscribers. So click that subscribe button and hit the notification button as well. So you will get notifications every time a brand new show is premiering on YouTube. And if you guys want the entire on-demand library, everything beyond the latest 30 episodes, they're all available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use that promo code BYM, get a 14-day free trial. You get access to everything ad-free and uncensored. Yes, Mr. Bisping.
And not to mention, you obviously can watch the show on audio only. So wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, iTunes, all that type of stuff, go on there, tell your friends, leave a comment, leave a 5-star review. Okay, Broaders Burger, show us the menu and let's see what kind of high rollers we're dealing with here.
Okay.
Hold on, Lewis, and let's play this game. What would you order? You got to pick one from each one there. So you've got the appetizers. So pick the appetizers. We've got
I'm going
cheese.
Just money. I'm going like a Puerto Rican kid at the mall. On the first of the month, I'm getting.
Would you think they're doing the sample platter, which is $12.99? You get French fries, fried cheese sticks, fried pickles, fried jalapenos, onion rings, and fried eggplant wheels. Serves 5 to 7.
Can I please substitute the fried eggplant wheels for maybe some more fried pickles or fried jalapenos?
The mac and cheese egg rolls, 3 egg rolls filled with homemade mac and cheese. They're $5.99.
Well, Poirier also can't say like, oh, you have a limit of one item per person. You can order whatever you want, guys. I'll tell you right now, get a to-go bag. You can just keep on ordering.
All right, let's have a look at the sides. French fries, sweet potatoes, the most expensive. Yeah, it's all $2.99. It's a cheap place. This is a bargain place. You can go to town. All right, now we got hot dogs. I'll build your own burger. All right, the hot dogs. I know.
Can I say this? If you order a hot dog when you're at a restaurant, you're a garbage human being and you should really reevaluate who the fuck you are.
Don't absolutely. Unless that. You're like under 10 years old, then that can fly. But if you're a grown man.
It's even strange for a child to do it.
Yeah, but still, leave Lucas out of this. If you order a fucking hot dog and you're under 10 years old, it's okay. But this place, yeah, I'm telling you, nicely picked, Dustin. I mean, expensive thing on the menu there, I think, was $5.99, you know?
Go back to the menu for a second. I want to see the burgers. Now I'm getting hungry as I'm looking at this menu.
Starving.
All right, $13.99 is the Ahi tuna steak burger.
But the broadest burger is $5.99.
This is a cheap place. Inexpensive place. So this is why he's doing it. There's 25% capacity. The most expensive thing on the menu.
Find out how many people this restaurant holds and then divide that by 25. And that's to say it's going to be $30. There's no way anyone's spending more than $30 per head on that restaurant. And by the way, Dustin, I'm sorry, we're only messing around there, mate, because we're a little low on things to talk about. But it's a beautiful thing and good for him for reaching out and just, you know, a little team building, a little community morale going into his fight. I think it's a beautiful thing. But still, we are going to take the piss because that's what we do.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, do we know the rules right now in Lafayette, Louisiana? Because some of these places, I'm going to Arizona, and apparently Arizona is just open everywhere. I'm going there tomorrow night. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, Thursday night, the 25th, I'll be with Kurt Metzger in Phoenix, Arizona, stand up live. So please come out, come hang out. But places like Arizona, Texas, these places are all just sort of opened up at full capacity.
I got to say, I respect your hustle, Harrington. Harrington on the group chat just said, I tried to call them. They wouldn't answer. That's actually good investigative journalism there, mm-hmm. Harrington. Lewis, I got to say, I'm very concerned about this willy-nilly, flippant attitude to just traveling all over the place and doing shows, right? Tell me you're going to wear a mask, because I know right now everyone's just a fucking tough guy. I don't care. I don't wear a mask. I don't give a fuck. I'm hard. It's not about you. It's about the innocent people that you might infect.
Okay, well, I don't wear a condom, so I'm not going to wear a mask.
Numbers are spiking. It's not about you. It's not about you, Lewis. If you had HIV, you wouldn't, I'd like to think you wouldn't be, you know, injecting people with the poison. Inject them with the poison.
Like that old wives' tale, like the girl would wake up in the morning and then in lipstick on the mirror, it would say, "Welcome to the world of AIDS. Gomez out."
Yeah, I don't know what you're referring to there.
An old wives' tale where like there was a girl that was going around giving guys AIDS, and then she would write in lipstick on the mirror, "Welcome to the world of AIDS." It's like the 80s when AIDS was at like its biggest, scariest height. Yeah. All right, so no, two things. Number one, I'm not against wearing a fucking mask. Stop
putting the mask on, Lewis.
Conspiracy theorist, okay? I wear a mask when I need to wear a mask. When I go into a place, when I'm ordering something, if I'm going on public transportation or into an Uber, obviously I'm going to wear a mask.
Bow, bow.
If I am outside, not near anybody, there's absolutely no reason to wear a mask. If you're wearing a mask and you're not within 5-10 feet of people, there's, and I'm not in your shit, there's no reason to do it. It's absolutely pointless. And this is, by the way, okay. Bowing. I get it.
All right.
So you're with me on this. Okay. So, but the problem is, I go outside sometimes. I'll be walking down the street and some guy across the street will be like, "Hey, why don't you got a mask on?" And I'm like, "Well, sir, now I have to fucking come near you and yell in your face. And now we're going to infect each other because you can't just shut the fuck up and mind your business, because I don't need to put a mask on if I'm walking down the street or walking my son to his mother's, as long as I'm not going into people's space." And that's also recommended by the government. That's not even just me saying it like an asshole.
Yeah, no, sure.
That's the recommendation.
I think the situation is, listen, as of right now, the science seems to be changing all the time. You know, they still don't know enough to actually, you know, definitively say one way or the other what we need to do. Their opinions are changing, okay? It's a new virus, a new thing. They're learning new stuff about it all the time. They are saying wear a mask. And I just feel like because you see these people now, I saw someone on Twitter the other day. In fact, our buddy, Diego Lopez, retweeted it. He's a fun guy on Twitter, by the way. Trying to force his way into a store without a mask on. You know, at the end of the day, if you're going into a store and it's their business and they own it and they want you to wear a mask, you have to respect what they say. If they say you don't have to wear a mask, then don't wear a mask. If you're going to have it on while you walk into a restaurant, but then you can take it off when you sit down, just put the fucking mask on. All these people say it's against the Constitution. It's against my rights. No, it's fucking not. Shut the fuck up. Put the mask on if they want you to put a mask on and just be a decent person. It's not asking a lot. Just be respectful to other people and what they want, okay? It's not about being a pussy. It's not about it's against my human rights and all this bullshit and the Constitution. Well, shut the fuck up, put the mask on.
Well, the counter to that is that, where does it stop? So they tell you to do one thing. I understand people that are nervous about that, because once you start giving up your rights to the government, where in the Constitution does it say that the government is allowed to tell you to put clothing on your face? And where does it stop? So at what point are they going to tell you, well, you have to get a vaccine? You're like, well, I don't want to put a fucking needle in my arm. Well, no, it's for everybody.
Yes, but when that was written, it was hundreds of fucking years ago, okay?
We amend the Constitution constantly. There's no amendment that says...
I know.
I don't think that they should be amending and taking away our rights. We should be protecting our rights. So I understand that side of it. However, here's the other side. I do believe in the right of a business owner to make up his own rules for his business. So if somebody says, in order to order ice cream at my ice cream shop, you have to jump up and down on one foot and pat yourself on the head, otherwise I'm not serving you ice cream, you have every right to go to another ice cream shop, right? I don't that's sort of my baseline philosophy there. So I 100% agree with you. I keep a mask. I have an American flag mask, which is just to piss off liberals. I have an American flag mask that I wear. I keep it around my wrist. Okay. It looks like a little fucking decoration. And if I have to go into a store, I'm not going to fucking argue with people. And to be honest with you, here's what I like, Bisping. And we talked about this a very long time ago. I think we should, as a society, we should adopt what they've been doing in Asia for a long time. If you have a cold, throw on a surgical mask. You're going to avoid spreading disease. You're going to avoid spreading germs. This is, I think, going to be the new standard. And overall, I think everyone's going to be a lot less sick. I think when you consider the fact how clean everybody's being, I think the restaurants are cleaner. The positive side is really, really good. But I also do understand the side of it where people are like, well, hold on, how much of my rights am I giving up to this very corrupt, very evil government that has no fucking idea what's going on? Like, they're liars. You know, there's a lot going on, dude.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's a lot going on. And another thing that is going on is that the numbers are fucking spiking again. I tweeted out recently, right at the start of all the riots and the protests, you know, regarding the George Floyd thing, which obviously were necessary and they were a great cause. But I said, fuck, if we don't see a spike in numbers, then obviously we've been told some lies. Now, of course, we have seen a spike in numbers. Numbers have gone high, and we apologize for talking about the coronavirus, but still, we are here. Numbers have gone up, and if we're not careful, all that lockdown and the quarantine. What do you mean? What do you mean?
No, let me finish my sentence.
The numbers are spiked like crazy. I don't think that they've gone
up with young people that are protesting. I think they've gone up just in general. Things are opening back up. People are coming back out. And I think that was naturally going to happen. People predicted that. They said it's going to come back and the number is going to go up.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, listen, if people want you to wear a mask, just put a mask on. It's not a big deal. It's not that much of an inconvenience or a hassle, or it's not going to really ruin your day, is it? So just, even if you think it's wrong, roll your eyes internally and say, oh, whatever, put the fucking mask on. For me, sometimes it's annoying, right? Because I don't want the inconvenience. I'm forgetful. I get out of a place. I have one in the car. I park the car. I get out and walk off. And there's that shirt mask on, for fuck's sake. But I go back and get get it because I've got to go back in the car, got to unlock the car, got to get the mask, put it on, and then start again. I roll my eyes, but I got to do it because it's I just rolling my eyes at myself because I'm an idiot because I forgot the mask. Not at the fact that I have to wear a mask. If that's what they want, if that's what people want to feel safe right now, because some people are dying, a lot of people are still dying, then fucking just go with it. Come on. It's not a big deal. It's not a big ask.
I would say this much. I'll wear a fucking mask all the live long day if I can go to the movies, go to a restaurant, eat a good meal, have a beer with my friends, and return to society. I wouldn't mind conforming to a lot of the rules that they want in place. I think that having, you know, it's a new time and it's a new society, and I think we're going to have a lot of things that are changing, and I'm willing to adapt and change. I'm not just putting my foot down to put my foot down, but there are dangerous paths to go down, and giving up our rights. It's not just the mask. When they sign an executive order where they make it a law to put a mask on your face, it's just you start to go like, okay, well, wait a minute, time out. What rights are we giving up to a government?
But hold on, relax, because I put someone on Twitter yesterday, and then somebody came out, Mike, it's not about a mask or getting sick. It's about control. Oh yeah, like they get a fucking big kick out of, okay, we're going to make them all wear a mask. Yes, we're winning. What the fuck do you think they gain out of that? No.
Getting us to argue, even though we agree on everything. Let me say this.
Lay off the bong. Put the bong down. You're actually sucking on a bong as we speak.
I'm making more sense. Isn't that weird? Mental. Maybe you should hit the bong.
This
is what they want.
They want to control you. Put the mask on. We're all being controlled like good little boys. They're just trying to stop a virus. They're trying to stop people getting sick. It's on
My in-laws live in
Penang. In Penang, Malaysia. Okay. You think they're liaising with fucking the CIA, the Pentagon, the government here on what to do?
If you don't think they're sneaking in other laws that infringe upon our rights, things that are just regularly happening nonstop, you're crazy. And the problem is they have people like me and you who are friends and agree on everything socially and politically. Me and Bisping probably see eye to eye on everything, on all these things, except the path sometimes to get there. But then they have us arguing about this, right? And they have people working. They have people saying, hey, you know what? I would like the government to have more surveillance. I want to give the government more power. I want to give them more control.
Hold on. If that's the case, because Trump now is backtracking completely on what he said. You know, and he was out there saying, so he's making it up as he goes along. So it's not like if there was an agenda, he would have had.
So is the WHO. They're all making it up as they go along. None of them know.
Making up as they're going along, the facts, the research is all giving them more information as they're going along, which is discrediting what they earlier said. But of course, they're trying to act in the best intentions. I don't know if they are, I don't know if they're lying, but if they had an agenda, they would fucking set out their stall at the beginning and they would stick to it. They wouldn't keep changing it based on the science.
Has nothing to do with the coronavirus. There's massive things that are at play right now. We are giving up our rights. Every time we fucking sign away our rights for our cameras to be on, for our phones to be listening, all this shit's happening around us, dude. Government surveillance, they're taking algorithms on everything we're saying and doing right now.
Hey, guess what? All these people, I'm not signing this because they're listening. Do you know what? They don't give a fuck.
They do.
No. Do you think you're that important and that special? Yes. They want to listen.
What do you think is the most valuable thing in the world right now?
No, I know it is.
The things you and I are saying right now and thinking and doing and predicting what we're going to do and how we're going to spend our money is the most valuable thing in the world right now. And if you think the government doesn't want a part of that, that is fucking crazy.
If you think they're listening to you and James at night discussing or whatever and they're interested in logging it down, you're out of your mind.
They're not logging it down. What they're doing is they are taking our data and they are going to eventually have a way where they can organize our data in a very fast way. Actually, it's funny because they just touched on this.
Well, listen. Here's the thing. If that's the case, and little Luis J. Gomez and little baby James, and they're spying on you late at night, right? There's nothing you can do to stop it. So don't worry about it. I'm going to be dead and buried soon. Right? There's nothing I can fucking do about it. If the big man, the big government want to fucking do that, do it. I'm just living my life. It ain't going to affect me, buddy.
Do you see me putting down my iPhone? Do you see me not on the computer? I'm doing it. I'm just pointing out the fact that it's creepy as fuck. And once you will see me disappear in 5 years when I don't show up for the podcast one day, you're like, where the fuck did Luis go?
He's dead.
I'm going to be off.
The CIA took him out because they listened to him that he was going to get a fucking strawberry smoothie late at night. Like, whoa, panic button. Lucy's getting the strawberry smoothie. It's control, baby. We don't even have strawberry smoothies. He's going to have mint only.
There's a moment right now where we are, it's very funny to me. I'm watching this happen. Like, I sound like a conspiracy theorist, right?
Yeah, you sound mental.
And brainwashed.
And a lot of Americans do.
But I think there's a crossover right now.
The greatest country in the world, you all think your own government's trying to fuck you.
The two can't coincide. 100%
it can't be the greatest country with the worst government.
If you think this government is not trying to fuck us and not trying to reach their money hands into our pockets and
just like every government in the world, they're the biggest fucking blaggers out there. The fucking tax man's the biggest fucking crook going, right? They're all cunts. They're all looking out for themselves. But it's no different. And you can't do anything to change it. You're not a politician. You're not a fucking royal. You're not a member of the elite.
And you can...
What?
I mean, you can opt out.
Walk around like that guy in Better Call Saul, right? With a fucking tinfoil hat on and a tinfoil thing.
You can put down your iPhone. You cannot be on Twitter all day. You cannot be on Instagram. You cannot opt in.
You just stopped using Twitter because you wanted to reduce your screen time. You said that at the start of the show.
Not even just my screen time. No, because I'm fucking crazy on it. I'm crazy on it. And so are you. And we all should probably put down our fucking cell phones.
Oh, I'm with you.
The reality is, it's not like this in the real world, right? So me and you don't really give a shit about any of this. Even right now, we're arguing
couldn't
on the show.
Care less. I'm just saying how crazy you sound. And don't let it bother you.
This has convinced us that we fucking care. And I don't care. You sure
I care
sound
about
like you
me,
care.
My wife. I care about helping people less fortunate than me. I care about helping my family. But first and foremost, me, my wife, my children. And then if we can help other people in the meantime, great. But ultimately, sometimes, as long as I and my family and my extended family and close friends are okay, then there's not a lot else I can do. I'm not a multi-billionaire. I can't fucking make a difference in this world. You know, I'll try. I'll be nice. I'll respond to people's messages on Instagram. I'll give a little money to a GoFundMe here and there. But ultimately, I'm just one man. Do you know what I mean? So I can't make that much difference in the world. So just enjoy your time here. Don't let it stress you out. Don't feel so heavily oppressed by your own government. Greatest country in the world, bro. You should be loving this. What are you talking about?
I think it's a great country. I think it's a crazy fucking world we're living in. And whatever's happening with all of the technology and the data, and you know this yourself. You know, you've talked about cryptocurrency and you talked about data and how valuable
data
is.
No, data is the most important thing, you know, because it's so valuable.
So if you think the government isn't taking all of our data and having the best scientists in the world figure out how to organize it in a way and use that against us in one way or another, that is a very near future. And this is not being conspiracy theorists. That is just, I think anybody would just sort of agree that if there's something that's valuable, if the most valuable thing in the world is data, why wouldn't the government want our data? Why wouldn't they want to
They can have my fucking data. I couldn't care less. Have it.
We're all giving it to them.
Yeah, but what makes it so valuable? Fucking take it. You know what I mean? Rather than like running some big elaborate scheme and they're going to listen to you through your Amazon devices and we're doing this, we're trying to control them, make them put on a mask. Just have my data. Here's my date of birth. There's my email address. There's what I think. Take it. Now fuck off. Leave me to it. I got a podcast. I got a gym to do. I got a lot of stuff to do. You want my data? You're fucking welcome to it because I'm not that special. There's like 7 or 9, I forget which one it is, billion people on this world. Have my data and fuck off.
I completely agree with you, and that's why I act the way that I act. That's why I won't give up my iPhone, but one day I will. One day I will disappear off the face of the earth and be like, why did he disappear? It's like, you know what? He didn't want to give his data anymore. He was out.
Oh, the data that you can do nothing with. Your data is so valuable. You need collective data. You need the data of the millions of people. The one person's data isn't enough. Anyway, all right, enough of that. Oh, I just knocked something over. Do we have any questions, fan content? I've been getting a lot of... Go on, Lewis.
Well, I tweeted out a tweet and asked if people wanted to respond. So I do have some responses to that.
All right. Well, let's... what have you got? What the fuck is this?
All right. If you guys want to join the conversation, bympod@gmail.com is the email address. Please send us your artwork, your questions, fan questions, video questions. We love the video questions. Also, Brian and Harrington, if you have a video question, we could also do it on the show.
Don't send in a video question. We're trying to get your data. Okay. We want your email address. Then we know your name. Then when you come on the camera, we see your face. You're blonde with the last name of whatever you are. You're from that area. We've got your accent. We've got your email address. You're fucked. We're just collecting data. That's all we're doing here. But please, Lewis, in our data collection scam, who is our first victim? Who do we have? We're going to fuck this person so good. We got his data. We got his email address and everything. It's amazing.
I literally hate you.
Yeah, good.
We're going to see you this week. It's over, baby boy.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking drown you in Big Bear. I'm going to make it up like it's a boating accident. What's that? The Talented Mr. Ripley? When they go out on the boat? Isn't it Talented Mr. Ripley?
I didn't see it, no.
You never seen that movie?
No.
Great fucking movie. You got to watch that. Matt Damon and I forget who it was. Anyway, go on.
The Gatekeeper ate you. At The Gatekeeper ate you on Twitter. Sean says, if you could be any animal, what one would you be? And we'll go around the horn. We'll bring Harrington and Brian on this one. I want to know what animals they would be. But Bisping, this, you're the namesake
do,
of the show.
Do me last. Do me last because I got to figure it out. Which one is the most Wi-Fi savvy? Which kind of animal is best at hiding their data and things like that? I don't know who the most tech savvy animal is.
Have an opposable thumb for sure.
We'll start with Harrington because I guess this will be fucking genius because he's half sloth as it is. Harrington, if you were to be an animal, what would you go with, my friend?
I would definitely be a bear. They get to like sleep the whole winter. It's pretty dope. And
good choice.
They're like a giant predator. Nobody's gonna eat you, and you just get to sleep. You're a ferocious animal. It's pretty cool.
It's not bad. I do love bears. Bears are one of my favorite animals. They're just fascinating. Absolutely scary, incredible. Dude. Scary. We're going to Big Bear. There's a lot of bears in Big Bear. That's why they call it Big Bear.
Bisping, if my son gets eaten by a bear, I will literally never forgive you. He just chose the beach, mate.
Yeah, well, listen, they're collecting data down at the beach. The bears are collecting boys. Okay, which one do you want it? You know, you're logging it. Every time you check into a hotel, they want your address. They want your phone number. They need your credit card details. Ooh, they're collecting so much data. Brian, what would you be?
I'd probably be a chimp.
Yeah.
They're really strong.
Slightly know. Smarter than you.
Smart. Yeah, exactly.
Lewis? I mean, look, you gotta, what do you want out of this? What is this, right? What's the idea here? What are you trying to get out of being Rebecca. A fucking animal? I want to have the coolest experience that you could never have as a human. Being a chimp, we're evolved chimps. We're just better than chimps. You have everything a chimp can do, Brian.
Yeah, Brian, we are chimps already. But yeah, you are. At least make yourself a silverback.
Yeah. Their life seems so much simpler. Nobody judges them.
Nobody's trying to steal the data of a chimp.
Exactly.
Rebecca, if you had to be one animal, if you could pick one animal, what would it be? Come on. This is great content.
That's really good.
What's something you've never thought about?
Something she's never thought about. What would I be? Lewis, what would you be?
I think I would have to choose something that fucking has a great life, long life. But also it does something that I can't do, which is fly. I think I'm going to choose an owl.
Flying, yes.
I'm going to choose an owl. Owls, they're nocturnal. They can see at night. They could fly like a motherfucker. They, you know, I could eat mice and shit. That seems pretty cool. I can say a word. I can say who. At least I got one word still.
The other night I went out on my balcony. I could hear who, 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 who.
Bisping was like, that's right. I'm like,
there's a fucking owl. It's trying to collect my data. Where the fuck? Right. So I look, and then in the distance, in the silhouette of the moonlight, you can see this big, huge tree. And there it was on top of the fucking tree. The perfect silhouette, weren't it, Beck? Of this owl. And I said, Beck, come here quick. And it was just there. It looked so majestic behind the moonlight on top of the tree. You could make out the silhouette perfectly.
Don't try to steal my animal. I see what he's doing right now. He's like, you know what? I'm
stealing your
owl.
Animal.
It's my fucking, I'm the owl.
You didn't see the owl. Beck, what animal would you be? A dolphin?
No, I'm just in the water. I don't like water.
All right. Well, what would you just be quick?
A horse.
She'd be a horse. There you go. Why the long face? What would I be? Yeah, something that could fly, but birds are shit. Birds are, you know, not shit.
That's all that can fly. What else would you
They can fly. There's lots of them that can fly. I'm like, oh,
a flying
God.
Squirrel.
They're not exactly the most like emotional. You know, they don't have the emotional intelligence of other animals. Bears, good. I like bears, but I don't like going to sleep the whole entire winter. Yeah.
An eagle or a hawk?
Tiger. I'd be a fucking tiger.
Yeah. I mean, you also have to want to look like for the lifespan. I mean, I don't want to be a fucking predator where I'm constantly having to get into battles with coyotes and shit. Fuck all that noise, dude. Like,
you're a blue whale.
Bisping, did you ever see the video of the bear just eating a deer on its front lawn?
No, but I saw a video of a bear that had broken into a car yesterday on the news in Big Bear, they'd left like some gummy bears or something in the glove box. And they always say, don't leave any kind of food in the car because they can smell it. And certainly if you're camping out or whatever, could the bears smell it and then they come and try and find it. And this bear, as I say, was on the news, broke in. Alpha, shut up. Broke into this car. I was trying to find it, ripped out all the seats, scratched it, pulled the windows out, everything. It made a mess of that car.
Is my son going to get killed by a fucking bear in Big Bear?
I'm just saying, if you leave gummy bears in my car on purpose to get the nice Range Rover fucked up, or even the Audi, even though you talk shit about the Audi, it's a decent car. If you do that on purpose to sabotage the interior decor, we're going to have an issue.
That bear's not looking for food. That bear's looking for data.
I try to steal the data.
All right, I gotta go. Upset. We gotta wrap this one, Mr. Bisping.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that was a weird one. Just listen, guys, whatever you do this weekend, just make sure they're not stealing your data.
Protect your data.
It's a big conspiracy. They want your data. And on that note, enjoy the fights this weekend. Dustin Poirier, Dan Hooker, big fight. I'll be commentating. Tune in on ESPN. Lewis is going to be where are you going to be?
This weekend, I'll be at that point, I'll be in Cali. I'll be in Cali.
All right, right on.
So I'll see you. Maybe we'll, no, I won't see you, but I'll be watching the fights. We'll have some fun.
Have fun.
All right, we're done.